So tonight, we're just going to look at Romans 8 and verses 26, 27, and 28. It will set our hearts alight. These are glorious things, but very practical to consider. Concerning the matter of prayer, in verses 26 and 27, we learn that every prayer is answered. And also we learn that, and this is from the next verse, from verse 28, that everything that occurs will turn out for the benefit of the Lord's people. Now that's wonderful, because we always struggle to grasp it. And the important thing is to grasp it when it's happening. So we pray, and every prayer is answered. We go through trials and tribulations, but everything works for our good. What a wonderful God we have. Now, the link in this passage to verses 26, 7, and 8, strangely enough, is the word groaning. You will see that there is groaning mentioned in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Creation groans. We, as part of that creation, though we're born again and saved, we groan. And observing our condition and charged with the altering of it as believers, so that our prayers are perfectly answered, the Holy Spirit groans. It's hard work. Even the Saviour groaned within himself, faced with raising Lazarus from the dead. And that groaning is like to the Holy Spirit's groaning, a great massive pity for the state of mankind, more than that, for the state of believing mankind, such as Lazarus was. So we come to verse 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word used for infirmities here could be translated weaknesses, and sometimes it refers to ill health. Ill health is just one branch of weaknesses, but we do call hospitals infirmaries because we are infirm. The Greek is made up of two words, without strength, and that covers the whole ground. The Spirit helps us because we are without strength. Put it this way, in those moments when you and I feel without strength, the Spirit helps. Without strength may mean that we're not physically able to worship, we're too ill. Without strength may be that we're not mentally capable at the moment of praying because of weakness of some sort in the body. But whatever the cause, the Spirit helps us in our infirmity. He is the comforter, the paraclete. He's called to the side, just like a lawyer puts it best in court. So the Holy Spirit himself puts best before God the needs of our infirmities. We alone can give substance to that. The Lord knows what our infirmities are, and if we're not up to even praying them, he knows. But it may be that we will plead with him our infirmities, as we saw in Psalm 80. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Well, sometimes we're helped out by neighbours, which is very lovely. But isn't it wonderful to have the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, there to help us in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in the times when we do not have strength? And weaknesses brings us on to the subject of our weaknesses. We're human, and we have, if not fatal flaws, we have significant failures in our makeup, which makes us always prone to sin. We're never going to be perfect. We'll either be proud or we'll be failures or something in between. But the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, the word ought suggests that we should have done better. We ought to have known a bit more. We should have done better than we did. But actually, that thought isn't in the Greek. It isn't in the original. It means, for we know not what we should pray for as is necessary. As is necessary. Now, you'll recognize, sometimes you feel that you know what you want, but you have a thought that perhaps that isn't the Lord's will. We don't know what to pray for as is necessary. But the Holy Spirit helps us just there. He presents our prayers perfect to the Father. The third person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity is also involved. He presents his sacrifice on our behalf so that we may come freely into his presence. And the Holy Spirit brings that freeness of our prayers, and with those prayers ourselves, into his presence. We know not what we should pray for as is necessary. We have to put our prayers in our own words. When you read Psalm 80, I'm sure when you read it again, you'll see that it has a number of things, but he's pleading with the Lord about the things he's done before. Will he not do them now? And sometimes you might think that he's overdoing it or going beyond what is right to say. But that's a pattern prayer. But in any case, we may only bring our prayers, we can only bring our prayers in the language that comes natural to us. It may be, for example, that by way of an arrow prayer shooting straight up to God on the spur of the moment, we might say, help, But the spirit knows the substance behind that single word help, and will present before the Father exactly what we are asking for, because he knows us. And it's the same with other things. We may pray for our families to be saved, but we may not see it straight away, or we may not see it in our lifetime. Of course, the Father may overrule it, and we submit to him. But that is not our purpose. We're not to be afraid of that. We are simply to come and say, may our family believe the gospel, for that's the mark of being elect, that you believe and receive the gospel. We know not what we should pray for or how we should pray for it as is necessary. But the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't have to feel him doing it. He does that as a matter of course. That is the way in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all mentioned within a few verses here, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit handle our sort of feelings, our failures, our misgivings, our prides. This is the way it is done, that the Holy Spirit takes whatever be our infirmities in order that they may be presented perfectly before the Lord. The Spirit, we read in verse 26, itself maketh intercession. Now you must never be worried about that word itself. Of course, he is personal. But the word in Greek, spirit, is a neuter thing. And simply the translators have translated what the Greek says, the spirit itself. But we always think of that as the spirit himself. Well, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, the very Holy Spirit. And he makes intercession for us. Now, intercession means a pleading sort of prayer. All the different forms of prayer may be mixed up, but you could divide it into worship, for example, and enjoying the presence of God. But intercession is when you plead for the salvation of a soul, for something that is urgent, that has to be handled immediately or whatever. But the Lord, the Spirit itself, maketh intercession for us. Of course, when things are urgent, then we're most likely to panic. When things are urgent, we're most likely to go off the rails. You know what it's like in your own mind, in various other issues. But when things are urgent, when there's scarcely time to frame a prayer, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. His ear is always open to our cry. He makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. A bit more even than unspeakable groanings. He maketh intercession for us, and the transforming of it from how we weakly express it to the magnificence of the perfect presentation of our prayers before the Lord is a great, great burden to the Holy Spirit, and he groans under the weight of it, but he doesn't fail. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know whether the thought there is that he does nothing else but groan, and the Father interprets the groans, or whether by the groans he uses the exact words that are necessary. It doesn't concern us really. We know that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Our prayers are so far from being perfect. We may feel that they're so far from being acceptable to God. But as I constantly say to you, we can only bring our prayers in the words that we can think of, in the needs that we feel we can express. We can only come that way, and we are welcome to come. What is being said here is it's not the weakness of our prayers that is being received in heaven, but the strength of them when transformed by the Holy Spirit. They overcome the heart of the Father. They move the heart of the Father. The Father is laying them up as treasure for the day when they will be fully answered, perhaps a part every day for a month or every day for a year, some now and some in eternity, however he decides. But we bring our prayers. We must not hesitate to bring our prayers in the words that we can put together. We mustn't say, I can't pray, because I don't know how to pray. We must pray, even if we don't know how to. But if the circumstances are so dire that words don't come, the Holy Spirit will pick up what needs to be prayed for. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, transforming the words. But they are groanings. It's an immense effort. It's like the Saviour in Gethsemane. It's like the Saviour when he felt for the Lazarus and put forward the power to raise him from the dead. The Holy Spirit is looking at us in a similar way. He feels for man. He feels for the believers, the elect. And in order to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, the Lord Jesus put forth with groanings much power. But he was able to. So the Holy Spirit puts forth with groanings and much power the weaknesses of our prayers, and he does succeed. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. They're too deep for words. We may understand it ourselves. The thoughts of our hearts may be too deep for words. The Lord knows how we feel. The Lord knows how we're responding, how we're proactive. But the Holy Spirit, his groanings, his unutterable groanings, his ability to present before the throne our prayers made perfect, is a most wonderful thing. We don't have to doubt about our prayers being received in heaven. And verse 27 spells this out. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's the Father, he that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now the Holy Spirit is God. God, the third person of the Trinity. He knows exactly what the will of God is concerning our lives, concerning those for whom we pray, concerning our future, however you care to look at it. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So he takes our prayers, whether they're partially all right, whether they're totally all right, whether they're thoroughly inaccurate. However, to encourage you to pray and pray in your own words. We're not talking about public prayer here. We're talking about the prayer of our hearts. But the Holy Spirit, he knows what we are feeling. And he also knows what the will of the Father is for us. And whereas we can't make head nor tail of how our lives are fitting into that pattern, he does. And he therefore takes these imperfect prayers of ours and he makes intercession. He pleads with groanings. And the Spirit understands our groanings. And the Father also. But his work, we're told here, is to search the hearts. Now the Lord Jesus, sorry, the Father here, but the Lord Jesus would share this too. The Father searcheth the hearts. David was able to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Sometimes we feel we don't want God to know what's going on in our lives. But he knows anyway. And the Father who searches our hearts and sees that we don't know what is necessary to pray for, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit about us. Because the Holy Spirit makes intercession on our behalf according to the will of God. All our prayers arrive happily in accordance with the will of God. We may not know it, we may not see it, but there is this mighty invisible groaning. How it was that the Lord Jesus on Calvary made atonement for every sinner in those few hours, we can't say. And how it is that the Holy Spirit is able to make intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered for every believer on earth at any one time, we cannot even think about, but he does. He that searcheth the heart, the Father who knows what's going on in our hearts, but he loves to hear us pray. He wants us to refer these matters to him. And when the Holy Spirit brings them, the Holy Spirit, by his groanings, has made our prayers coincide with the will of God. Our prayers will be answered. Every prayer must be answered. It is heard. Now, we sometimes say that the Father says no. And he may say no to what we're thinking of, but he doesn't say no to what the Holy Spirit has transformed our prayers into. It may be that what we pray will come true in our time, after our time, partially as we thought of it, and the other part as we didn't. Or it may all come true in heaven when we're all there. However, but it will be answered. And it will be answered affirmatively, provided you remember that it may not be according to the way you see it. And that our job is to submit to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is able to help us and able to take those prayers, even of an unsubmissive person, to wing those prayers into the presence of God. The Spirit then helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, or as is necessary, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, there's so much there, and it's so encouraging, and there's much more that might be said that I haven't dreamed of saying. And then we come to verse 28. If the other was that all our prayers will be answered, this is that all things that happen to us will work for our good, all things. And of course, when these things are happening, we struggle. And therefore, these words are here in this particular context of answered prayer. These words are here that we might trust more than ever, believe that these things are so. We're in an evil world, and that the Father works all things together for good is a wonderful thing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. One modern translation gets the words right, all except one. But it serves to illustrate what I want to say to you. One modern translation says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. You see how close it is. It's just that it says for the good of those, not to them, that love God. Now, let me try and show you what I'm saying. Both of these things are true, and we're going to try and weigh which is the more important one. All things work together for good to them that love God. So, if you like, this is our way of looking at it. All things work together for good. The events of life, as we look at them, seem to come upon us randomly. Some of the things are difficult that we didn't want. Some of the things bring the situation to pass, which the world says it never rains, but it pours. But from our point of view, we're being told here that we should know, and therefore act upon, and believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, that other translation has something different. That all things work together for the good of them that love God. As if we were the center of the universe. Do you see what I mean? That's the difference. But in fact, it isn't what this verse says, but it is true. And it's very wonderfully true. You see, the whole destiny of this world is geared for the Lord's bringing to pass those who shall be conformed to the image of his son. The whole of everything that happens in history, the whole of everything that happens in the world is bended so that every saint may be saved and during his lifetime, her lifetime, be conformed to the image of his son. So whichever way you look at it, the Lord has his people in mind centrally. Everything is working together for good in all the events of history, in all of these things, that are working together. He is controlling them with his people in mind. On the other hand, as we see it, these things hit us one by one, or two or three at a time sometimes, and we see them coming upon us like arrows. So we've got to grasp this point, that if you look at it from God's point of view, everything that happens in the whole wide world happens in order that his own people might be blessed with salvation and all the other things that follow it. Somebody may hear the gospel, perhaps at university here, like Puyan did, but he might go back to his own country, and he might be the first person ever to mention the gospel in that land. And another one or two might be saved. But 50 years later, there may be 300 saved. And you see what I'm meaning by the Lord controls the events in such a way that we don't necessarily see what's happening in the first stages or even in the second stages. But all things are working together for the good, to reach those people in some remote place. And the way he's chosen, the Lord has chosen to do it, is through that man who was at university there. Now, I only give that as one illustration. You can think of lots of illustrations, I'm sure. But all things work together for good. Now, it doesn't seem so, does it? It often does not seem so. And then we have to talk to ourselves. For the scripture says, we know. And when we begin to doubt, we're saying, we don't know. So we've got to take ourselves to task. And when events happen to us that we don't like, or we don't understand, or we can't see the meaning of, we do know that the Lord is working all things together for good. That we do know, that we can see, that we can make sense of. But we have to take ourselves in hand. Because it's the same for all of us. I'm not speaking of all of you, I'm speaking of me. When these things are difficult, frustrating, disappointing, whatever it is, even worse than that, and there are terrible things that can happen, the Lord is working all things together for good to those that love God. If we can try and get to grips with that in our own mind, perhaps little things happen. Well, it's like a footballer. He plays for the under-17s, gets his practice there, then he plays for the under-19s, then he plays for the reserves, then he plays for the first team. But all the practice of the other teams has counted towards his ability to do it. And you see, every little thing that goes wrong, if we can learn to pray to the Lord, to know that it's all working for good, when other things happen that are harder, will be a bit more practice at doing it. If we can't contend with the horsemen, how shall we contend with the cavalry, is how the scriptures put it. So we know, it must be embedded in our mind. We must plead with the Spirit to give us that confidence. And then to, if we're failing in confidence, to take our prayers nonetheless. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But this is emphasized here. Those who love God are the same as those who are called according to God's purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, namely, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So all things must work together for good, mustn't they? The Lord has a purpose. Perhaps you'd like to change, just for a change of tack for a minute, perhaps you'd like to turn to Psalm 139. And this doesn't only refer to Christians, it refers to all people. But we may apply it to ourselves. But to Psalm 139, and we can look at verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now we're coming to the subject. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously, that's carefully, wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance would fashion be, when as yet there was none of them. Now what are they saying there? Verse 16. The Lord looked at us in the womb. Mine eyes did see. Things were still being formed in the womb. Things were still being growing in the womb. And in thy book, all my members were written, hands, feet, everything about us, in fact. But written in his book, that is to say, the Lord has a reason, has a purpose for each one of us in our lives. And while we are in the womb, he is forming us to have those very gifts that will be applicable to the purpose he has for us. Thine eyes did see my substance while they were still imperfect. In thy book, all my members were written while they were still being fashioned, which in continuous with fashion, when as yet there was none of them. The Lord was forming our beings for the purpose he had for us in our life. And that applies most especially to believers. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, we're all rational people. We're very sensible if we do things because we have an aim, because we have a purpose. God has a purpose. Verse 29 tells us what it is, that his people should be conformed to the image of his son. That's what God is about. In all kinds of history, from the beginning to the end. And we're called according to his purpose. And we're perfectly fitted to do the things that he wants us to do and knew that we would do. And he made sure we were perfectly fitted for that purpose. So these wonderful verses about prayer and these wonderful verses about all things working together for good. And what a gloriously happy faith we would find it the closer we got to taking these wonderful things on board. Now, I had missed something out that I meant to mention, but never mind. I don't want you to look at it now. I'll just tell you what the verses were. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. And that explains, if you read it, to some extent, verses 26 and 27. I leave that with you. I omitted to do it. Perhaps the Lord wanted me to omit it. And you might or might not want to look it up. But may the Lord encourage us that however fragile our prayers are, he knows our hearts He knows that the Holy Spirit is turning those prayers so that his will is being fulfilled by them. And to that end, all things are working together for good, because the Lord has planned that his people shall be brought to the image of Christ, and every other facet of history and geography and whatever is moulded to fit that great overriding purpose. Amen.